Behold, we go up to Jerusalem.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Well, if anybody here can spell quinquagesimum and pronounce it properly, you can sleep during the sermon. No cheating, no diagonal vision. The church had this pre-Lenten season for a very cogent reasons. Unfortunately, a lot of the church, after Vatican II, dispensed with it. So unfortunately, they go from the heights of the expectation of Christ, the announcement that he was going to come, the announcement to our Blessed Mother, his actual nativity, and then his manifestation to the Gentiles, how he, when the three wise men came and saw him, the first Gentiles that saw him, his baptism, his making water into wine, and suddenly the church just dives, free falls right into Lent. We have the advantage of having had these Jesuit Sundays, so we have that, if you will, slow descent from that pinnacle of joy and unbridled happiness. So Lent starts this Wednesday. So we've had these 3 weeks. Some call the Jesuit Sunday. Some they call the Shrovetide. We always seem to have tides. I guess we're nautical. We have this tide and that tide. But we have these are period. This is a period of three Sundays where we prepare for Lent. It's been said that the theme is what is shown in the epistle today, the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. On Shrove Tuesday, we have the terms of carnival. What does that mean? Unfortunately, in a lot of places, it's just a total abandon of anything decent, but it's really supposed to be a time to enjoy those kindly fruits of the earth, the festiveness of the past Christmastide and so on. But it's supposed to be also a time where we say goodbye to meat. The word carnival literally means goodbye to meat. So that's why we have our pancake suppers and such. We sort of shrive the house of all that fancy butter, syrup, bacon, and sausage. So I'm going to go around everybody's house on Wednesday and make sure you got rid of all that. But these Jesuit Sundays are a transition in Lent. And this is the most penitential season of the year. And well, it should be. Is Lent then an ordeal? I have to admit, when we come closer to when I start thinking about the season around Christmas, I thought, oh wow, it's going to be Lent pretty soon. Maybe we all thought that. Then as I get close to it, I really look forward to it because it's time for us all to take the Lord by his hand and let him lead us from that joyous moment of his baptism when he knows what's going to happen. He knows that he's going to have to fast and pray and think about his ministry, his upcoming Galilean ministry and his Judean ministry. So we take his hand, we go out into that wilderness of our own souls. And I think the object of Lent is to hold on to his hand and to just have him lead us and open our souls to him so that he can show us where we've missed many times, the mark that's expected of us. So I think Lent is a time to really look forward to. It's channel ourselves into focusing on where we are with God and where we really need to be. Yes, we may give up things. I'm thinking of curtailing some use of Facebook, for instance. But why do we give up these things? I heard in a sermon some time ago that, and I think it was a good thing, a lot of us will observe the custom, Lenten custom of giving up meat on Fridays. And it was told to us in the sermon that so you don't eat meat on Friday, so you go to Ruby Tuesday or some Red Lobster and have all you can eat shrimp. And he said, maybe it's better if you just have one hamburger instead. So it's about our attitude. Why are we doing this? Is this, do we do it just to get around what the church tells us to do? Or do we value what the church told us and do it for the reason of just some self-discipline, to keeping some things out of our life that we're used to, some things that we'll miss? So these sacrifices should be going into an idea of being thankful for what we have, the ability to do these things, the opportunity we have to go with our Lord and explore our lives, see where we are again. So it's a sacrifice of love and thanksgiving for this opportunity to go on this journey. So now he sets his face to Jerusalem. We're told this in the Transfiguration. That's sort of the turning point when our Lord goes from the Galilean ministry. And then he turns his mind and his mindset and his ministry towards Jerusalem, the Judean ministry, where he'll go up and finally do those mighty works of salvation that he did for us. What are the rewards of a good Lent? Spiritual growth, as I've mentioned, finding out more about ourselves, where we spiritually become mature and not children anymore. More openness to the Word of God, diving into it more often. A great discipline, if y'all are not doing it already, is do the daily offices, the morning prayer, the evening prayer. Some churches have Stations of the Cross, so we're just sort of, we think about, of course, what Christ did for us on the cross, but in Lent we just focus more on that. There are people that will go and vigil in front of a Planned Parenthood facility, praying for those dear children yet unborn, that the mothers would change their mind. There are often people that have the mind to come into an abortion clinic. There are many testimonies of a would-be mother going there for the purpose of having an abortion, seeing a group of people standing in the rain or the snow, praying for them. And I had one come up to me when I was standing from the place out in California. She said, she came up, she had this beautiful baby, year-old baby, and said, I wanted to join him. So that's fine. She said, now I want to tell you why I'm here. I drove by here a year ago, and you all were out here. I was going to have an abortion, and you were out there standing in the rain, and I changed my mind, and here's this child. A closer relation and walk with our Savior is another advantage of a good Lent. Offering worthy sacrifices, worthy, you know, not just something, you know, just sort of, I'll just give up chocolate and I've done my thing. Just something that you would really think about during Lent, but just say, you know, I'm going to trade it for doing something else. So it's, Lent isn't so much as just giving up things, but putting things in its place. The less time I spend on Facebook, I should be looking at this. Or standing outside an abortion clinic. Or giving food to the poor people. And doing something that I haven't been doing as well. With all that, we'll get a greater zeal for our faith. As we get closer to Christ, the more familiar we become with Him and His working in our lives, we'll have a greater zeal for our faith. We'll be more equipped to share our faith with others, to attempt to live the life of a Christian better than we do. So let's get ready for this journey. We've had three Sundays, and again, I go back to the beginning. When we prepare, we have an idea of what we're going to do this on this Lenten journey this year. Enjoy these last few days of Shrovetide, and let's be ready for Ash Wednesday. I was telling some folks last night, I saw, I think it was a National Geographic thing, and it showed the, you know, the lighter part of the revelings in New Orleans during Mardi Gras, and then the music and everything, Dixieland, jazz, and all that stuff. And then there was a transition where you just saw the confetti just falling to the ground. Nobody was there. And then it panned over, I believe, in the St. Louis Cathedral there in New Orleans off of Jackson Square. And then people falling in silence into the church and hearing, "Remember, O man, thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return." Let us remember our mortality in this life, but the eternal life that we get in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. May we have a blessed and meaningful Lent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.